everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. When it comes to reducing your exposures to environmental toxins, we are big proponents of every little bit counts. Many chemicals in common products, including personal care products, clothes, and cookware, can do harms to our bodies in small doses. The potential for health problems increases the more burden we put on our bodies with these type of chemicals. That's why we're super excited today to be chatting on IG Live with Dr. Jordan Geller. Dr. Geller is a physician at Geller Endocrinology based in LA, Palm Beach, and New York City. So during this live, we're going to discuss the endocrine system, chemicals that can disrupt your hormones, and why small amounts of exposure to these chemicals can be dangerous to your health. So I saw Dr.
Hey, how are you? It's great to see you.
Yeah, great to see you. How are you? Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. I love talking about this and, you know, spreading this knowledge. People need to hear this stuff. And I'm grateful to you. Million Marker is a fantastic product, and it's a great resource for people out there. So let's get to it.
Awesome. Okay. Tell us a little bit about yourself, like how you became an endocrinologist.
Well, I had a really good mentor. You know, when you're in a medical residency, you rotate specialty. I had a fantastic mentor in endocrinology at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. He was actually a physician. He was a clinician, but he kind of gravitated more towards research and science. And so he always taught me to really think like a scientist. You know, I was taking care of, you know, human beings. And, you know, it was a really exciting time to be in endocrinology with all the advances and understanding about hormones. And unfortunately, a lot of people with hormone imbalances that need our help. Mm-hmm.
So as an endocrinologist, you know, you work with the endocrine system. For those who are unaware, what is the endocrine system and how could it impact your overall health?
Well, you know, the endocrine system, these are like chemical messengers. That's what hormones basically are. We actually have hundreds, if not thousands, of different hormones in our body. But basically what happens is a signal goes out from a gland, like the ovaries or the testicles or the pituitary gland, the adrenals, and then it tells another part of our body to do something, to increase our heart rate or our metabolism or our digestion or reproductive system. But at its basic entity, a hormone is a chemical messenger. And that's why it's so important, you know, that message not get disrupted by chemicals or toxins or any of the other things, you know, that we're going to talk about today.
Is that the reason you had such a great post telling people not to neglect their hormones? What does that mean to you?
You know, I came up with don't neglect your hormones because so often when I see a patient, they come in and they assume that, you know, the problem is in their body. The problem is with a disease in their gland, and they want to point a finger. Oh, I have an adrenal problem, or I have an ovarian problem, or a pituitary, or a thyroid. When in fact, so often what we find out is that it's something in the lifestyle that is causing the hormones to not work well. Some people do have true, of course, diseases in their glands, but usually it's from stress or toxins or diet or sleep disruption or some other entity. And so I tell my patients, you know, don't neglect your hormones. We need to take care of them and nurture them.
We often, like when we're trying to explain the endocrine system, we see a lot of people pointing fingers, like pointing specific things. And then we kept telling them, you know, your endocrine system actually works like a symphony. If you go to a symphony, you don't want your keys to be out of sync. And if it's out of sync, the music is just horrible.
I use that same analogy. And in fact, to take it a step further, I use that because almost every hormone interacts with other hormones. So when we change one thing, it has downstream effects on other hormones. And it's all connected, like you said.
Yeah. So today we're talking about why low dose matters. But before getting super granular, let's start with a bigger picture. You know, what are some signs of hormone imbalances?
So some of the most common things we see are unexplained fatigue, weight gain, menstrual irregularities, hair loss, acne. These are just some of the most common things that we see. But, you know, a lot of times hormone imbalances can sort of fly below the radar and patients may not realize it. They may not always have obvious symptoms. Mm-hmm. But the other thing to keep in mind is the symptoms of hormone problems are very nonspecific. So it could be from, for example, thyroid hormone, which can cause fatigue and weight gain and constipation and dry skin. But so many other disorders can also cause that. So, but these are definitely the more common things we see. And reproductive health is usually how these things get discovered, because, you know, women have this regular reminder of their menstrual cycle every month. And if it goes off, then it's a really clear indicator that something is wrong and it's a time to take a deeper look.
Is it harder to discover such issues in men then? Since, you know, you just mentioned women have this monthly thing that we are aware, but what about men?
Yeah, that's a great point. So men, actually, that's true. Hormone disorders in men typically present when they do get discovered, it's at a much further stage. If they have pituitary tumors or adrenal tumors or whatever the condition is, it's often much further along because we don't have that, you know, monthly reminder. And, you know, men, frankly, are also just not as tuned in with their health often as women are. You know, having a regular menstrual cycle, it's not only an indicator of your female, you know, reproductive health, but it's a good indicator of a woman's overall health. Mm-hmm. And that's just something that, you know, we don't have, unfortunately.
Yeah. We're actually doing a study intervening couples to reduce their EDC exposures and then trying to see whether there's changes in men's sperm quality. So we also were talking about how sperm quality could be the fifth, you know, sort of a checkpoint for men's health, because it's Absolutely. Work as a system.
No, I mean, it should be, as you know about that study and the book accompanying it that showed like a 50% reduction in sperm counts over the past couple decades. And these are real things that I see in my practice. I see, you know, male and female factor infertility all the time, or subfertility or irregular menstrual cycles. Like, you know, there's a lot out there that we're just starting to discover.
Well, as you know, hormone disrupting chemical is one of our favorite topics. Since we're talking about, you know, endocrine system today, could you tell us a little bit more about hormone disrupting chemicals? What are they? What role could they play in disrupting the endocrine system?
You know, the way I explain it to my patients is that our hormones travel around in our body like a puzzle piece, and they attach after. And the endocrine disrupting chemicals, which we're going to talk about, they block that signal. So sometimes they can sit in that receptor and block the hormone from attaching. Other times they can mimic the hormone like a key going into your lock and turning it on. Or there can even be what we call more downstream effects, you know, which gets a little deeper into the biochemistry. But again, we're talking about a message that's being sent in our body, a chemical message. And the endocrine disruptors, they hijack that message. You know, they hijack it and they block it. And imagine if you're sending an email to a friend and somehow that got interfered with, or the message got changed, or it didn't get sent at all, or for the wrong person. It's exactly what happens with endocrine disrupting chemicals. So what I tell my patients is, you can have the best hormones in the world, but if there's endocrine disrupting chemicals in your system, those hormones are not going to work well. And I'm grateful for Million Marker to have this product that we can actually now test people's endocrine disrupting chemical exposure, which really motivates them to make positive changes.
That's our goal, but we'll also need more physicians like you who actually understand, because when we approach many doctors, they are totally not aware that hormone disrupting chemical even exists. Well, why should we even care about it?
Well, I totally agree with you. It's a real void in our knowledge base. And I think part of the problem is that, you know, these are things that we often can't see or taste or smell, or until recently even test for. So, you know, it's not something that we're really educated about in medical school or postgraduate education. And I think it's going to take time for the word to get out. But, you know, interestingly, my patients know a lot more about this stuff than, you know, many of their doctors. And this is another area, one more area in medicine now where we're seeing sort of so-called biohacking, where, you know, patients are not waiting for physicians and government agencies and guidelines to come up with, you know, strategies. We can't wait that long. You know, we have a short lifespan and an even shorter reproductive lifespan. Mm-hmm. And if there's endocrine disrupting chemicals in our system, we need to know about these now and make changes. So, and I'm happy to talk about some of the more specific ones, you know, the chemicals that, you know, people should be aware of if you want.
Yes, let's get into it. What are some most common EDCs people should be aware of?
So I think the poster child of EDCs is going to be BPA. That is, I think, the most common one that we're all exposed to. And I think studies show that pretty much everybody has detectable BPA levels in their body. BPA is present in plastic bottles, the liner of cans. It's in thermal receipt paper and many, many other sources. But, you know, what's tricky is that a lot of my patients come in and they'll have their plastic water bottle and they say, oh, it's BPA free. And I tell them, yes, but now they're using BPS, so they can say it's BPA free, but there's other chemicals that are just as bad. And BPA can affect metabolism and thyroid function, certainly breast health, and may promote breast cancer development and many other conditions. But it's really the perfect example of an endocrine disruptor. Other things are chemicals like atrazine. These are chemicals found in pesticides. Certainly like flame retardants are good examples of endocrine disruptors. They're present in cleaning supplies, cosmetics, fragrances, rocket fuel. I mean, the list goes on and on of endocrine disrupting chemicals. Phthalates, which are used in plastics to sort of help soften them and give them flexibility. But rather than get sort of bogged down with all the chemical names, because it's overwhelming and the list is very, very long, as you know, I really try to educate my patients about just the sources of these. You know, forget all the names, just know that you should avoid plastics and plastic water bottles. Don't ever heat up in plastic. Avoid nonstick cookware. Avoid flame retardant materials. And, you know, definitely I want patients to learn to read the labels on their cosmetic products like we need to do with food products so they can learn these chemicals to avoid.
You had a really great post. That's how we contacted you. Was because you had a post on like a why low dose of EDC matters. So why is that?
Well, you know, in toxicology, the study of toxins, you know, there's traditionally thought to be sort of what's called a dose response curve, where the higher the level of something, the worse it is for you. And that's not necessarily the case with endocrine disrupting chemicals or with hormones. Sometimes we see, it seems paradoxical, but oftentimes we can see stronger, you know, responses at a low dose of a chemical and maybe a weaker response at a high dose. So it's not enough just to say that, you know, the dose makes the poison and that the higher something is in our body, the worse it is. The other problem is that the way toxins are studied by government agencies and other organizations is, you know, they'll give a very high lethal dose to an animal and then they'll extrapolate from that, okay, what's a safe level for a human being or a baby? And, you know, the fact is nobody is studying a low dose repeated exposure every day for 50 years, which is the way that most of us aren't getting these. Mm-hmm. You know, we get a little bit of plastic every day, a little bit of BPA, a little bit of phthalates from our cosmetics and so on and so forth. And that's just not tested or studied. And after a lifetime of cumulative exposure, we end up with autoimmune disease and diabetes and fertility and all of these things. So we have to get away from the concept of the dose makes the poison and just, in my opinion, follow the model of the, you know, European countries that really any exposure is unacceptable and we should really do our best to avoid stuff.
So could these chemicals affect our families or the generations to come?
It's quite likely that they can. I mean, first of all, these chemicals are stored in our body. They're often, you know, stored in fat and deep in our tissues and not released until many, many years later, which is another unique thing about endocrine disruptors. They're sort of like a silent bomb with a very long fuse. So a baby could potentially be exposed to an endocrine disruptor from the mother while it's still in the utero and not have an effect until many years later on their reproductive health as an adult. And it's possible these hormone, these chemicals may even, you know, disrupt our DNA and pass things on to future generations. And that's really an area of investigation.
I feel like you don't call yourself a functional medicine doctor, but I also felt that you really look at the picture comprehensively and looking at the whole endocrine system, the whole human body as a whole. So I felt like they're so admirable. So how can someone work with you?
Well, they're welcome to go onto my website, which is jordangeller.com. We have a request an appointment option. I do, you know, require a physician referral. You know, I'm very grateful that my practice is so busy. But if it's somebody I can accommodate, then I'll do my best to. They can also reach out through Instagram. They can look at our Instagram, which is at geller.endocrinology. And I'm try to post, you know, relevant information out there, like the stuff that you saw, which got us together. So I'm happy to spread the word about this.
Awesome. We do have one question coming in. What's an example of a high dose chemical not being as dangerous as a low dose one?
You know, I can't give you an exact specific example of that because the way our body metabolizes these is really complex. And so, you know, to one person, you know, this gets into a complicated concept called non-monotonic responses. But basically the way one person responds to a chemical could be very different than another. So two patients get the same dose, one person has a bad reaction, one doesn't. So again, I want people out there to stop thinking about or to not focus necessarily on the individual chemicals because it's overwhelming. And thankfully we have a test like Million Marker that'll do that for them. But rather I want people to think about the classes of chemical exposures, cosmetics, fragrances, plastics, fire retardants, et cetera.
That makes a lot of sense. We often also let people know we don't want people to get super stressed out reducing each toxin. Exactly like you said, like classes and also classes of products that people should pay attention. Right. And then once you do that, not only you're making your hormones work better, but you actually improve other parts of your lifestyle. So, you know, if you eat out less, you're avoiding a ton of like takeout, which are plastic chemicals. Right. And also high calorie. And if you cook at home, you have full control over the ingredients and then the products you buy, which reduce your toxins, more nutrients, and you might lose weight and then you might improve your metabolic health at the same time. So there's like a lot of benefits besides just reducing chemical exposures.
Absolutely. Not to mention the environmental benefit that you're putting less chemicals into the ocean and into the you know, population at large. Our ocean is, you know, loaded with chemicals. It's going to have more plastic than fish in it soon. And all of us test positive for microplastics, you know, in our intestines and feces. So yes, you're doing something for yourself as well as for the environment.
Amazing. Anything else you'd like to share today?
No, I just want people to really, you know, be empowered to take things like this into their own hands. We cannot wait for the government agencies and the medical societies to tell us about endocrine disruptors. The regulations, the guidelines, it's a total disaster if you even tried to look into it out there. And this is another great example of, you know, biohacking, so to speak. So grateful to have Million Marker out there.
Thank you so much for taking the time and join us today. We're going to have to invite you back to talk about other parts of the endocrine system and all the stuff that people need to
know. Let's do it. Anytime, I'd love to join you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, you too.
Bye.